and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of March 7th, 2021. Today, we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I'm doing well. Happy to be here and looking forward to talking about the MCAN's February newsletter. So join us to explore the many ways to get involved in climate action listed in the newsletter. It's a good read.
So, Mariah, I wanted to take a moment to discuss a publication that comes out of MCAN, the Massachusetts Climate Action Network, MCAN, comes out on a monthly basis. It's the newsletter. And the newsletter is a summary of goings-on in Massachusetts related to climate, and in particular in the ways that MCAN is working to address the climate crisis. And I thought it'd be useful to sort of talk through it a little bit to point out what some of the articles are and how valuable a document it is for people to get and to use to stay abreast of current events. Right? So, without further ado, let me do that. So, in the February newsletter, the executive director, Sarah Dooling, begins by talking about the Texas debacle, the power debacle in Texas, and what's happened down there, where 4.5 million Texans were without power, without water, really a bad circumstance. What she offers, the Texas lessons for Massachusetts, are that we need to have a diverse set of energy production mechanisms, right? So you have to have wind turbines, solar panels, you have to have batteries in place, you have to have efficiency, all these things. And in within Massachusetts, one of the guiding stars right now are things called municipal light plants, so are an MLP, municipal light plants. So Massachusetts has, I think with some other eastern states, this legacy of locally owned public utilities within a particular town, so that a town is its own utility as opposed to the big statewide utilities. These little town utilities are governed by democratically elected boards, right? And they are kind of a laboratory in which interesting things can be worked out ahead of the curve. And so one of the things that MCAN is doing is to work with municipal light boards in order to improve the performance. And one of the aspects of that performance improvement is to be more diverse in the energy production, how they manage these crises. So, I mean, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to think about, good way to think about it. Another thing that's in the newsletter is an update related to the climate bill. So you and I have talked several times about Governor Baker and the legislature going back and forth about this big climate bill, right? Which the legislature passed, the governor vetoed it, the legislature passed it again, the governor vetoed it a second time, but they were a little bit nicer about it the second time around. So this bill is now called, this climate bill in the Massachusetts legislature is now called Bill S9, the Next Generation Climate Bill, in quotation marks. That's the title of the bill. And so there's a lot of back and forth about what should be in the bill. And we've talked in some detail in the past about what's good and bad. But I just want to point out the following thing, that the governor, when he vetoed the bill, he said, I'm vetoing this bill because I want to have stronger language on environmental justice in the bill. And in particular, what the governor said is, Mr. Legislature, you should include climate change explicitly as a factor in making, when you think about environmental justice. And so that's a good thing that the governor has said, right? So one of the things that is important for this Next Generation Climate Bill to contain is this improved environmental justice language. And the reason I'm saying this is because you would have the opportunity to call your state rep and tell him, tell her these kinds of things. Okay. Another, but there were two of the things that the governor changed that were not so good. One of the things that the governor did was to lower, to make a smaller decrease in our emissions, carbon dioxide emissions by the year 2030. That's to say, the original bill said, by jingo, we're going to cut carbon emissions by 50% by the year 2030. Governor comes back and says, no, 50% is too much. Let's cut by 45% by the year 2030, right? And so the governor is now more timid in his targets, and what we want is to go with the more aggressive, the most aggressive carbon reduction plan that we can get. So again, that's a second point. And another point within the governor's rejection of the climate bill, when the governor rejected, vetoed the climate bill, he said, oh, look, you guys, and Ms. Legislator, I want you to weaken the building codes, make it easier for the building community to evade, to build poorly energy inefficient buildings, right? You want to, the governor's plan would make the building codes weaker, and we want to reject that, right? We want the strongest building codes, which basically govern how energy efficient new houses will be, right? We want that to be strong. So if you get this February newsletter, you can read this sort of description of the things that specific things within this climate bill that the legislature should act on in order to get a good climate bill through the state. So, I mean, there you go. That's another article. Did you get another article here, which has a lot of implications? Has the context is the following thing: is that in Massachusetts, there is a proposal to build an electric power plant in the city of Springfield. That electric power plant will be near an environmental justice neighborhood. And the special thing that makes it makes it an outrage is that this power plant in near the city of Springfield will be using what's called biomass, which is a fancy word for wood, fancy word for burning wood, right? So we're going to make electricity by burning wood. And all of the pollution that comes from that is going to be very local, harm the people who live nearby. The outrage is that the governor is deliberately changing the definition of renewable power to include, to say that, yes, when you burn trees, that's renewable energy because, in 50 years, you can grow that tree back, right? That's not a good thing from an environmental justice and from a pure climate emissions perspective. That's not a good thing. And so there is a campaign to stop the governor's change of the definition of renewable energy, because if that change of renewable energy, redefinition of renewable energy, if that gets accepted, then this power plant gets built because it's financially viable. And that's not a good thing. So again, you can details. Go ahead.
I think it's interesting because, that biomass, it's far from clean. It creates air pollution, and that can cause asthma and cancer and heart attacks, all these terrible things associated with biomass that are pretty well known. And here he is saying, pushing back on the S9 bill, saying he wants better environmental justice support. And yet here he's got this biomass that he's pushing forward, which is terrible for environmental justice. It's terrible for the people in Springfield. And, that's just kind of a funny irony of these two situations.
Right. It's inconsistent. A couple of last things. This is it's a very interesting newsletter. One thing you should note is that inside the newsletter, there is a link to go to something called the Net Zero Advocacy Toolkit. That's a buzzword. But net zero in this instance means a building code to make new buildings be very energy efficient, right? To use less energy. And there's a toolkit of sort of online information and connections that you could go to learn how to argue in favor of this better building code. And so it's a great thing for activists who want to try and talk about net zero building, which there's many, and there's various other links in here related to that as well. In this newsletter, it's a great thing. There are chapter events that are listed. So upcoming, there's a chapter event in Middlesex. There's a chapter event in Greenfield. There's a chapter event in Acton. There's a chapter event in Sharon all over the next few weeks. So if you go get the newsletter, you can get the details and find out how you can participate in some of that stuff. So I guess I think it's a great resource for people to get the MCAN newsletter. Of course, you can get the MCAN newsletter by signing up at the MCAN site, volunteering, letting us know, attending an event, get on the list. And you too will be in the loop, learning things that you need to know, or good to know, in order to fight the good fight here. Right, Mariah? So what we'll do is we'll put up the link to the newsletter, and at the blog. And the blog will be at www.massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have any questions, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. You can, of course, listen to us on your smartphone using Stitcher, Podbean, SoundCloud, all of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask your friends to listen to us on their modern podcast distribution app. I want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. I want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, to accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Mariah, thank you so much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.